thoughts and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. I'm your host this morning, Rob Burrows, the director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, two combat tours in Iraq, United States Navy Seabees. And I'll tell you what, you know, we had a fantastic Thanksgiving here this last week, and the Northern California Veterans Museum and Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services and Silver Star Veterans and Widows Program stepped up to the plate and help to take care of our veterans and our widows in our community. Joining me this morning is Michelle Kristoff. She is the liaison for Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. And, Michelle, what did we do for Thanksgiving for our military personnel in our Northern California area this last week?
Well, good morning, Chief. And we did about 125 meals. We were blessed to be able to do a food drive with Safe Mart Groceries over on Churn Creek in Redding. And the community just stepped up in an amazing way. And they donated turkeys and hams and groceries and mashed potatoes and all kinds of fun, loving things for us to be able to create these packages for our troops and our military families and veterans and widows, here in our Northern California area. And we spent a better part of 2 weeks trying to get all this together to be able to hand them out. And
actually, I went to Kent's Market because Kent, out there at Kent's Market, he donates to Homeward Bound all the time through the different programs we have for the Veterans Museum. So we do a shout out to Kent's Market and to say thank you to them for all of the support that they give us in the community and for being able to reach out and take care of. They donated the food for our Vietnam Veterans Dinner that we had back in July and August. And then also they helped support us through the program for the Wall of Honor, the Wall of Remembrance, and we had the wall here. And so we went back. I ordered 100 turkeys from Kent's Market 6 weeks ago because we just didn't know if they were going to be able to get out there. And Kent didn't donate the turkeys, but he gave us a fantastic price on it. We want to try to keep our money local here in our community whenever possible. And we definitely, those who support us when we have grant money to come back in, we support them financially as we can through our grant funding. The funding, once again, came in this year through the Iron Soldier Ride. We were able to raise $28,000 to help offset these costs and to be able to take care of that. But that money isn't for a one-time use. That money is used throughout the entire year. And we budget that funding so that we can make that happen. And so, once again, thank you to Kent and Kent's Market out there, Kent and Kathy, for all of their support and everything that they do. And, you know, like you were saying with Save Mart and the local banks that have been working with us with Cornerstone and then Golden One and then Tri-Counties Bank, all of our bags that we put all of the food in for the families, all the grocery bags, those are all donated by Tri-Counties. in Cottonwood. And so a shout out to Tri-Counties and Cottonwood. And in Golden One, they supported us as a primary supporter for the Iron Soldier Ride. And so we thank you for your support, for stepping up. You know, as a nonprofit, we are not able to do anything without the support of others. Through the programs that we have, there's no paid wages, but it's a labor of love. And if the money doesn't come in for us to be able to present it and utilize it for our community, we just cannot support and help the folks in our community that are in need. And when I say folks, I mean military families and military widows and widowers, men and women both, who have lost a loved one. Our programs reach out and touch those folks.
Yes, they do. And like I said, we wouldn't be able to do what we do without the help of our community because, you know, we are a small organization. We run on a skeleton crew. And if we don't get the grants, we have to go out and fundraise and go find it and get support through other local organizations and businesses in our area. So we know our North State's amazing. We know our community is awesome. And we appreciate everything that they donate. Every single time they step up, we've never had a year that since I've been with the museum that we haven't been able to provide meals or be able to provide Christmas gifts or the packages for the troops. So it does make a huge difference. You know, it's a small thing to one person, but to one person, it can be the whole world.
Well, and we've had several vehicles donated to us this last year. We were able to repurpose those vehicles and repair them. And one of the vehicles was donated to us by a veteran's widow who was no longer driving, and we turned around and cleaned that vehicle up and repaired it. And we turned around and handed it back to a World War II widow who also had her husband had passed, and then we went ahead and she married a Vietnam veteran, and he had passed also because of Agent Orange. And she was kind of on her down and out. She had to take the bus everywhere or rent a car. She didn't have any transportation. And so we were able to take that car that was donated to us and turn around and give it to a widow that was in need. And, you know, let me tell you, if you have never had the opportunity to gift something to somebody who is desperately in need, the joy that they get, the thanks, the appreciation, you know, we're talking about Thanksgiving that we just had this last week. There are so many things that we as an organization are thankful for to be able to turn around and make a difference. You know, I've said it many times before, and I'll say it again. The military sends us all over the world to help people we don't know. We sacrifice our lives. We sacrifice our health. We sacrifice our service. We sacrifice our livelihood with our families. And then to come home and not know what to do, should have died several times while I was in Iraq. And so when I came back, I developed these nonprofits and these opportunities here in our community after seeing the need that was there and to be able to step up and continue the mission to help those that are in need. Only we're helping those at home in our own community who have served or sacrificed and continue to make a difference in their lives. And I think it is so important, especially for me, this is my second chance at life because I should have been gone the first time. And I don't say that nonchalantly. It was really difficult for me to be able to talk about that for many years. But and I struggled trying to find out why I survived when others didn't. Why did I come home when others didn't? And so this is my mission here in our community to continue to help others that are in need. You know, and I'm a Christian and I believe in God, and I believe that I was given the second chance to be able to come home. I've seen many soldiers, sailors, and Marines lose their lives on the combat field in Iraq, Fallujah, and Baghdad, and all over the Al-Anbar province. And to be able to come back home and to be able to continue to make a difference in people's lives, like I said, they send us all over the world to help people we don't know. How important is it for us to come home and help people that we do know? And so here in our North State, because we do have a large population of veterans, somewhere between 16 and 20,000 veterans in throughout the counties here in Northern California. And then you add a spouse to that. And then you add children to that. And then you add grandchildren to that. There is a great military influence in our Northern California area. And one of the things that the military teaches you is self-reliance. Go, go, go. Do it yourself. You can make it. Do it yourself. Don't ask for help. Just do it. And our veterans come back from wherever they served, whether it's the war zone or just their service in general, And then they come up to a crisis in their life, and they don't ask for help because everything they've been taught is go, 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 do it yourself. Don't ask for help. And so it's really tough sometimes. Veterans struggle to ask for that help. They struggle to be able to reach out and say, hey, I actually need help, but I'm not, I don't know who to go to, or I'm not going to talk to anybody about it because I'm embarrassed. Well, we are here through our organizations, through Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, through Silver Star Veterans and Widows, through Christmas for the Troops. These programs we've developed because there's a need. And we have been supported through the community as we move forward to be able to continue to do this. And we could not do it without the help of those individuals, those business owners in our community. There's so many, it's very hard to be able to tell all of their names and all of their companies, but they know who they are. And we greatly appreciate that support from those individuals who step up and to help us take care of those. And many times, you know, this is not a welfare project. This is a project to help people out of a hole, to help them along, to get them to the next step so they can continue to be successful in our community. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and The Deep Thought, and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's keep it 100. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only bout it, God can't bout it, nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with a USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal. because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There is no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And we're in that season between Thanksgiving and Christmas. You know, that song was made famous during World War II in the 1940s when men were gone from home for the holidays, and they were gone for everything because they were there till the duration, till the end of the war. And I always used to watch the World War II movies as a kid and see that and listen to that and think about it and ponder it. Until I was in Fallujah, Iraq in 2006 and 7 for Christmas, and I listened to that song while I was overseas. And it's one thing to listen to that song, it's another thing to be. ...12,000 miles from home. And to listen to those words. And to think of all the things that are happening around you. And to think of all the things that you've left behind. Brings a whole new meaning to the song. Brings a whole new meaning to the appreciation of life. And to what we leave here behind in the United States, a way of life, a way of freedom, a way of love in our family and our friends and the things that we cherish the most. When we were in Fallujah, Iraq, they shut us down on our convoys 3 days before Christmas because they didn't want anybody to die in Iraq over the Christmas holiday because they didn't want to make a phone call home to somebody on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day and say, your son or your daughter died during that time frame. Because who wants to have that as a memory of a loss of a son or a daughter during Christmas or New Year's? And so Christmas Eve we spent in a large event center on the base of Fallujah. It was used by Saddam Hussein to speak to his Republican Guard when he did his troops. And they didn't have a Christmas morning service, but they had a Christmas Eve service. And there's nothing like going to a Christmas Eve service with your full battle rattle, your bulletproof vests and all your gear and your sidearms, your helmet and everything else. Because at any given time, there could be a mortar attack or enemy fire or anything like that. So you have to be prepared all the time to make sure that you're safeguarding yourself and those around you. And it is so surreal to be in a combat zone during Christmas and to be, like I said, in full combat gear, knowing full well that at any given time, you could be called to action, and yet you're trying to experience something as normal could be for Christmas Eve or for a Christmas Day. But you're surrounded by your buddies and you're surrounded by your comrades. And those are the individuals that become your new Christmas family. And maybe you got a box from home. I got several boxes from home with different goodies and things like that, and a small Christmas tree that I had in my little room there in Camp Fallujah. And you share those things with others that are around you because they may not get anything. They may not have anything. They may not have family that's sending. They may not have a family that can afford to send anything or a family that cares enough to send anything. And so we do a program called Christmas for the Troops. And that is where we gather items and we prepare to ship them overseas in care packages to be able to help with that experience. Well, these men and women, doesn't matter whether they're shipboard or they're at an Air Force base or they're in a combat zone with the Marines or the Army, they're away from home at this time of year, and they're looking for just a little touch of home from someplace or somewhere to make that happen. Michelle, tell us a little bit about how we try to make that difference.
So we try to provide care packages for our troops. We are currently collecting items for those packages. They're going to be shipped out mid-December. The event is going to be December the 4th, and it's going to be at the Anderson VFW Hall at 3210 West Center Street in Anderson, California. And we will be packaging boxes to ship overseas to our deployed military for Christmas. It seems like every year we get more and more requests for more packages to be sent overseas because somebody's family member is over there and, you know, they know that it's the only Christmas they're really going to get because they can't be home. They can't talk to their family. They can't see their family always. You know, it's even with our modern technologies and different things that the military are able to do now, it's still, you know, you're away from your home. You're away from your family. You're away from your lifestyle, your friends and your neighbors and even your pets. We get people saying, hey, I miss my dog, you know, believe it or not. And I understand that, you know, it's one of those things that unless you've been over there, you don't understand it. But I know with what we do, it blesses a lot of people because we get the emails and the letters and the pictures sent to us through our website and through Facebook and through our personal emails and seeing these platoons of troops where they are sitting there posed with our boxes and their unit flag and our American flag with them wherever they are in the world. And they're just saying a small thank you because we made a huge difference in their Christmas. You know, they get small things like toothpaste and shaving cream and soap and candy and books and different things that we take for granted here in the U.S. that we can just go to the store and buy. And over there, they don't even have the ability to go to any of those places, you know. Like you said, sometimes you're out in the middle of the desert or the mountains or the jungle and there's no anything. So you're reliant upon whatever comes from that little care package box. And we stuff them to the gills. I mean, we make sure that they are fully loaded with whatever we can squeeze into them because we use a flat rate box and the prices on those boxes have gone up. So we want to make sure that they're completely stuffed to the gills. So when they open it, it is literally, they get Christmas in a box. You know, it's something they can dish out to their fellow platoon members, their troop, their whole entire crew, and say, you know, hey, we're going to play cards or we're going to play football and, you know, we're going to eat Reese's candies or whatever. And it's just a great way for them to have a small piece of home sent to them from someone they may not even know. And we get the cards from the kids and, you know, the pictures that they draw and different things like that. And I know that they love them because they send us those letters telling us how much it means to them.
There was times that we received boxes in Felicia from total strangers that would just send us boxes to our unit. And we would put – I had 25 men on my team. I was the convoy commander for a 25-man convoy team. And we would get all of our boxes together. We'd pick out what we wanted from our home or whatever, and then we would pour all the boxes onto a table, and everybody would just pick and choose and pick and choose from those items. And what was ever left when we went on our next convoy mission, many times we would go out to COPS, which is a combat operational area, combat outpost for the Marine Corps, because we served with the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force And we would go out to those individual locations out by Haditha Dam, which was just miles and miles and miles in the middle of nowhere. One of the largest dams in the world on the Euphrates River for the Haditha Dam. And below that was a Marine Corps COP area, which was a combat outpost. Basically, it's 100 yards by 100 yards. You push it out, make a berm, cover it with concertina barbed wire, and then you live inside of it. And we would take them equipment. We would take them their water, their toilet paper, their MREs. If we didn't show up for that convoy and take those Marines, those items, they had nothing. And so their ammunition. And a lot of times we would pack our extra boxes of the candy and things like that, and we would take it to them and deliver it personally to those Marines, because a lot of times their own personal mail, whatever else, wouldn't come to them. That would come in a different convoy. But we made sure, especially since we'd been there once or twice and seen how desolate it was, you know, we lived out of our Humvees. They lived in the dirt. And so we took care of those Marines that were up there at combat outpost, Haditha Dam area. And so that's what it's about. And we'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back from our break. But the program's called Christmas for the Troops. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice, with respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
Fabulous fall specials going on now at High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane. Also in Roseville and Petaluma. High Noble Safe Company has fireproof and waterproof safes. Protect your guns, cash, and valuables, heirlooms, and collectibles, and important documents. With delivery, moving, and repair service available in Redding, Roseville, and Petaluma. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050. Or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane today.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
It was the night before Christmas. He lived all alone in a one-bedroom house made of plaster and stone. I had come down the chimney with presents to give, to see just who in this dwelling did live. I looked all around, a strange sight to see. No tinsel, no presents, not even a tree. No stockings on the mantel, just boots filled with sand. On the wall hung pictures of far distant lands. Medals and badges, awards of every kind. A sobering thought came alive in my mind. This house was different. It was dark, it was dreary. I had found the home of a soldier. I could see that most clearly. The soldier lay sleeping, silent, alone, curled up on the floor in this one-bedroom home. His face was so gentle, the room in such disorder, not at all how I pictured a United States soldier. Was this the hero of whom I'd just read, curled up on a poncho, the floor for a bed? Then I realized the other families that I saw this night owed their lives to soldiers who were willing to fight. In the morning round the world, children would play. Grown-ups would celebrate a bright Christmas day. But they all enjoy freedom each month of the year because of soldiers like the one lying here. I couldn't help but wonder how many lay alone on a cold Christmas Eve in lands far from home. The very thought put a tear to my eye. I dropped to my knees. I started to cry. The soldier awakened. I heard his rough voice. Santa, don't cry. This life is my choice. I fight for freedom. I don't ask for more. My life is my God, my country, my core. The soldier rolled over and drifted asleep. But I couldn't control it and I continued to weep. I kept watch for hours, so silent and still as both of us shivered from the cold night's chill. I didn't want to leave him on that cold, dark night, this guardian of honor, so willing to fight. Then the soldier rolled over with a voice soft and pure. He whispered, "Carry on, Santa. It's Christmas Day. All's secure." One look at my watch, I knew he was right. Merry Christmas, my friend. May God bless you this night.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Hey, you know, we're talking about the troops that are serving overseas right now, serving during the holiday season, during Thanksgiving, and serving through Christmas and the New Year's as they come up here shortly. Very, very fast. It just seems like the days go by faster and faster. And so we want to remind you that we have an event coming up this weekend. It's this Saturday, December 4th. It is from 1 to 6. It'll be at the Veterans Hall in Anderson, the VFW Hall. And we will be packaging boxes for the troops. It's called C for T, Christmas for the Troops. And we will be packaging those boxes once again. We talked a little bit about it. Michelle, tell us a little bit about more what we need to have for us to be able to complete this mission.
So we are trying to send approximately 200 boxes this year, and I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're trying to ship that many and they cost about $16.25 a piece, that's a lot. So we need items that can be easily carried in their packs, non-perishable snacks and different toiletries and different items like, you know, the small shaving creams and the toothpaste and the soap.
Hotel size.
Yeah, hotel size. All the travel type stuff that you would find in a hotel. Even the little packs of coffee, the small instant coffees or the K-cup type stuff, that all works too. They really love beef jerky. They love Top Ramen. And they like candy, lots of candy. So if you have any leftover Halloween candy.
Hot chocolate.
Yep, hot chocolate.
Powdered chocolate.
Just make sure that the box doesn't open or the package doesn't open.
Well, we Ziploc those. So yeah. The other thing that we need is Ziploc bags, sandwich size and half sandwich size bags. Because we'll put the toiletries in there to make sure they open up. Let me tell you, there's nothing worse than getting a box of cookies that taste like soap.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we, all of the different liquids and things like that, we put those in Ziploc bags to make sure they don't open up in transport. Because those boxes literally get field goaled from one truck to the next by sailors, sometimes Marines. They're put in a great big orange mail bag. And then those bags are literally heaved from one truck to the next. And so, generally speaking, sometimes the cookies are crumbs when you get them. Sometimes the crackers are crumbs when you get them. And you just tear the package open and you just pour it in your mouth. It's like eating Rice Krispies, only they used to be cookies or crackers or whatever they were at the time. And if it's really hot, you know, basically you tear the corner off your candy bar and you squeeze the chocolate in your mouth because it's melted several times over between one part of the world and the other part of the world. And, you know, a lot of times you just look at the stuff and you laugh or whatever else, but you lick every crumb up. You know, all the candy canes are usually broken by the time you get them. So, all those different items like that. Once again, after it travels 12,000 miles from one location to the other, or to a ship in the middle of the Mediterranean, or the ship in the middle of the South Pacific, or the China Sea, all of those items, you'll find that they're sent out in one. It's physics. They're sent out in one form and they're received in another form, and it's easy to laugh about until you get it and somebody squeezes the toothpaste all over the inside of your box. So once again, those Ziploc bags can become very, very important. And it's important for us to make sure that as we send these items, that we safeguard them and make sure that they get them properly. And so we are once again looking for your donations. We'll be collecting them again this Friday. And then if you'd like to come to the event, you can bring them Saturday to the event. And but it's good for us to have them a little bit ahead of time so we know how many boxes we're going to be shipping out. We are looking for more addresses also. We're always looking for APO, FPO addresses. Army Post Office and Fleet Post Office addresses. Those addresses can only be shipped through the U.S. Postal Service. So we are kind of bound by whatever the prices of the boxes are. Once again, Michelle said the prices have gone up again, and yes, they have from the Postal Service. And the service is slower now because they've cut back and or can't get employees or whatever the deal is with COVID. Yeah, those are things that we're dealing with. Along with everybody else in the world. So we're going to send up two shipments. We'll send out a shipment immediately after we get them and that first week in December. And then we will always send out another shipment right around the first of the year. So because there's always straggler items and things that come in, and we don't want to hang on to any of those items. We want to get them boxed, and we want to get them shipped. We want them headed overseas to those that are in need. And so once again, you know, we're at home. We have a great Thanksgiving meal. We have our beautiful, peaceful streets and a beautiful fall weather with the sky and the clouds and the trees and the leaves. And yet our military personnel are in some of the most desolate places in the world, and they're serving in our stead. They're there for us. And so we want to make sure that we continue to keep them in our minds and our hearts and our prayers, and to say thank you to them, to continue to make sure that we have the freedom that we have because of their service. It is better to keep the enemy at arm's length than it is to keep them against our chest here at home. And that's what those men and women do. They help keep the enemy on the other shores and away from us here so that we can have the way of life that we have. And many people do not understand that we have what we have because of those who serve for us. Many people take, especially this next generation, seems to take everything for granted. Everything is, a give me. Everything is something that's deserved. Well, let me tell you, and I know sometimes when I say this, people get upset, but the fact of the matter is, if you have not worn the uniform of the United States military, you are a welfare recipient of freedom, because somebody else has paid that price for you. Somebody else is stepping up and doing something that you chose not to do. And so one way for us to just say thank you back to them is to send these boxes, these care packages, And you know, we may not be able to help everybody, but we can help those from our community that are serving and the ones that we don't know as we get addresses. But it's our way of being able to make sure they understand and know that we appreciate the sacrifice that they're making in their own personal lives.
Right. And if anybody wants to find the complete list of all the items that we're looking for, they can go to our website. It's NorCalVeteransMuseum.org or our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/piledriver13. And there, if you click in the photos section, there should be a complete list of all the items in there, as well as the details on the event on December the 4th. So that, again, is from 1 to 6 at the Anderson VFW Event Center at 3210 West Center Street in Anderson. And if they have any questions, they can either contact us through Facebook or through the website or through your phone number like you gave them before. It's 530-510-8210.
And we'll be having pulled pork sandwiches and hot dogs for the kids. So there'll be some great food there and good Christmas music. And we just want to invite you to come and be a part of that as we share our holiday season with those that are serving around the world. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Whitney from Timberline Heating and Air Conditioning. On behalf of the whole Timberline team, we wanted to take this opportunity during this special time of year as we gather to spend time with our family and friends. It is also a time to remember all of our veterans and those currently serving our country. So we join with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute, sending peace, hope, and happiness this holiday season to all our veterans and service members from the Timberline Heating and Air family. Happy Holidays.
All of us at Crown Motors want to take this opportunity to thank our veterans, active duty, and first responders for their service to our country and community. We also wish to express our appreciation to the families of these heroes who also have sacrificed to keep our nation and our community safe. Have a wonderful holiday season, and remember that everything you do is so appreciated by your neighbors, community, and the people at Crown Motors of Reading.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
This holiday season, begin a whole new tradition of lights and festivities for the entire family at Reading Garden of Lights, taking place November 19th through December 31st at Turtle Bay's Locarno Botanical Gardens by the Sundial Bridge in Reading, California. Explore 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens featuring over 1 million lights, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more. Reading Garden of Lights, November 19th through December 31st, presented by Mercy Medical Center Reading. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Room is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Another year has come and gone, and I'm still here holding on to this rifle and a picture of my kids. Saying it's a holiday, sure as hell don't feel that way. Don't think Jesus meant for it to be like this. star on the plastic tree. Cotton snow in a manger scene. Do the best we can to make it feel like home. A turkey dinner on paper plates. Sergeant bows his head to pray. Boombox playing silent night. Camouflage of Christmas lights. A paper star on the plastic tree. Cotton snow in a manger scene. We do the best we can to make it feel like home. A turkey dinner on paper plates. Sergeant bows his head and pray. Boombox playing silent night. Camouflage of Christmas lights. Some say I'm a hero, but I'm just a dad who's trying to protect the most precious thing I had. Someday I'll be home again, and our world will be right before. Paper star on a plastic tree. Cotton snow in a manger scene. We do the best we can to make it feel like home. Turkey dinner on paper plates. Sergeant bows his head to pray. Boombox playing silent night. Camouflage and Christmas lights. Thank God it's a silent night. Camouflage and Christmas lights.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Camouflage and Christmas lights. Been there several times and all around the world, serving our nation and taking care of business with the enemy. And being missing home and looking forward to that time when you finally get a chance to be on that freedom flight back to the United States. And so as we were talking earlier about our military personnel that are far away right now, do we have Kyra on the line? Good morning, Kyra.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for talking with us this morning. Kyra Crowell, used to be Kyra Kryl, is on the line with us. She was our first...
Homeward Bound intern.
Well, intern, excuse me. I was losing my word there. She was our first intern for Homeward Bound, and that was several years ago. And now she has married an Army veteran, or Army serving currently in Korea. And Kyra, tell us a little bit. We're going to be sending boxes to your husband. And tell us a little bit about what it's like for you to have been sending boxes in the past to people you didn't know, military personnel. Now we're going to be actually sending boxes to your husband.
Yeah, definitely. That's a really good question. It definitely hits a lot more. It hits you closer to home this year, sending these boxes out, just knowing, like, the situation, like, personally knowing, like, how hard it is to have, like, your service member away from home. And so it really just, it makes it a lot more meaningful this year because it was meaningful before because military personnel are away from home and they're away from their families. And so they're getting this box from strangers they don't even know. And then now that I am in a situation where my husband is away, it just really makes it a lot more personal. And it's a really just great experience this year because it means like so much to them because I remember my husband told me he got a card from like this little kid at school for someone he didn't even know. And it just made him, like, have, like, the biggest smile on his face that a complete stranger would still think of them even when they're halfway across the world.
And we know how that is. We've shipped literally thousands since 2008, since me coming back from Iraq. We've shipped almost 8,000 boxes overseas in care packages.
Yeah, I actually think it might be more than that.
It may be more than that. But it's over 8,000 boxes we've shipped in the last 13 years overseas. Christmas for the troops, and that's just from our Northern California area. Mm-hmm. And so you're out of the community right now, so that's why we have you on the phone.
I am up in Washington,
and that's going to be your new duty station, isn't it? Soon your husband comes home. So you're
up
there.
Yes, we just bought a house, and so we are here trying to get everything put together and ready for when I move in and for when he comes home.
And so that's a big task by itself. I mean, a single bride taking care of things while your husband is gone and making sure that everything's together when he comes back. What's that like, just trying to get all those things together?
It's definitely really busy, a little overwhelming at the same time, but also, like, really rewarding that it's like, oh, like, I can actually, like, do this by myself. Like, it is a pain in the butt that I'm doing this by myself, but also it's, like, it almost, like, makes you feel good. It's like, okay, like, at least I get to do this for when he comes home, so it's, like, ready for him. And it's really, like, rewarding to look back and be like, wow, I did all of this, like, by myself. Like, it's kind of like a silver lining in, like, a sucky situation.
Yeah, Kyra has been very instrumental in helping us through Homeward Bound this year since she's been back, and I am so proud of her, having known her since she was, like, 17 years old, and then now having her be an adult and grown up and in her 20s and helping us with this program this year. I just want to say thank you to her so much for helping us with Homeward Bound, for the food drive, with Save Mart, and for all the other things we went around and trying to collect donations. And I am super proud of Kyra, and I think she's amazing, and I am going to miss her like crazy when she's gone. But I'm really grateful that she's been here to help us with this. So you go, girl. You rock.
Well, thank you so much, Rochelle. It has been, like, my honor, like, being back and being able to help out with everything this year. And it's also, like, since I did move away from base and I came back home, it was a really nice connection, like, to the military community, because I didn't, like, because I left all of that behind when I came back home for the year. And so being able to help out, help with the boxes and help with all the other fundraisers and the food drive, it just has really gave me, like, a greater, like, sense of military community still, even though I was, like, away from military life for the past year. It still made the transition easier because I was still connected in a different way.
That's what happens when you work for a senior chief. Hey, your duty station up there is Fort Lewis. I served up there for several years. So you guys, that's where he's going to be serving with the MPs, correct?
Yes, correct. We should be here for at least 3 years.
3 years up there.
Yeah, so we are super excited to make the move up here. I'll be moving after Christmas, and so I'm super excited just to get all my house put back together because we're now in the middle of tearing my kitchen cabinets apart so they can get repainted. And so I'm really excited to tear the house apart so then I can put it all back together.
Well, that's, you know, being young, having the opportunity of buying your first house, your husband serving overseas right now for our nation, especially during the holiday season. And, you know, we're going to be with you during part of this Christmas season and to keep you a little bit of company before he comes back home and you guys get a chance to reunite, be together as a young family. And we just want to say, I want to say thank you once again for everything that you've been able to help us with through the years, with the program and everything. You started out, you were a dynamo, you're just a go person. And that's one of the reasons that you're successful is you are. If you didn't know, Kyra's working on her master's degree right now in the middle of all this. She's a hard charger, a hard worker. She's a smart young lady. And like I said, I'm just thankful to have you on the team and to be a part of the program. We're going to miss you when you have to leave again, but we know that, you know, that's your life now, and that's how things go with your, when you're in the military. And we're going to be shipping boxes to your husband daily.
I know, I haven't told him yet, and so he's going to be really excited when I tell him. He's going to be so excited, because I don't think he has any idea. I don't think he's expecting the boxes to be coming.
Well, you need to just tell him he's going to get a box, because we'll probably ship him about 20 boxes, and he'll be sharing them with his unit there in Korea.
He'll and, be Santa Claus.
That's right.
He'll be the skinniest Santa Claus.
There's a lot of... like I said, we talked earlier, there's a lot of individuals who serve, they don't have family, they don't get boxes from their home. And so when your husband gets those boxes, he'll be shipping those. He'll be sharing them with other individuals on the base where he's at. It's a small location there in Korea. But he's a far away from home, and this is our opportunity to help you, to share with him, to say thank you for all of us.
Yeah, definitely. And I definitely just thank you guys, like, so much for everything you've done, like, this past year, because you guys have worked your butts off to make all of this happen as well.
Well, it's a labor of love, but this is what we do. That's the mission that we're here, we're called to do, and that we continue to do every day here in our community. And once again, if you're out there and you have an address for a loved one that's overseas right now or that's gone from home in the military, we need that address from you, that APO address or that Fleet Post Office FPO address. so that we can go ahead and get that those boxes shipped to them. And once again, secure line. You can call
the news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. A judge has imposed a combined $1 million bond for the parents of the Michigan teen charged with killing four students at Oxford High School, hours after police said they were caught hiding in a commercial building.
We were in a commercial building in a room. We were able to take them into custody without incident.
Comments from Detroit Police Chief James E. White airing on WXYZ, and more details from correspondent Ben Thomas.
Four students were killed at Oxford High School, and Jennifer and James Crumley have been charged with four counts of involuntary manslaughter. Oakland County Prosecutor Karen McDonald says they went to the school that morning after a teacher found this note on their son's desk.
A drawing of a semi-automatic handgun pointing at the words, quote, "The thoughts won't stop, help me," end quote. In another section of the note was a drawing of a bullet with the following words above that bullet, quote, "Blood everywhere," end quote. Between the drawing of the gun and the bullet is a drawing of a person who appears to have been shot twice and bleeding.
As for the charges,
the notion that a parent could read those words and also know that their son had access to a deadly weapon that they gave him is unconscionable, and I think it's criminal.
I'm Ben Thomas.
President Biden Friday vowed to make it very, very difficult for Russian President Putin to take military action in Ukraine, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
We have been engaged in the possibility of that. When we have that finalized, we will make that, we will make you all aware of that.
U.S. Senator Tom Cotton says after a war of words this past week with Republican members of the Senate, Dr. Anthony Fauci has no business serving as the chief White House medical advisor.
In my opinion, lost the credibility to be any kind of impartial or credible messenger, as have the heads of most of these public health organizations in the government.
Cotton was interviewed by the Salem Radio Network. More of these stories from townhall.com.
Honey, call the doctor. I'm officially sick of junk mail, emails, and ads about Medicare. Why are they suddenly bombarding us with this stuff?
Because it's open enrollment. We could get more benefits.
Okay, then. Which of these envelopes should we open?
None. Let's go to EasyMedicare.com. EasyMedicare.com can clear up your Medicare confusion with simple, easy answers with multiple plans to choose from in just about every U.S. zip code. EasyMedicare.com can help you find the best plan. Annual enrollment is now through December 7th. Go to EasyMedicare.com. That's the letter E, the letter Z, Medicare.com. Or speak with a licensed agent at 1-888-486-1662. That's 888-486-1662. EasyMedicare.com. We make choosing a Medicare plan easy.
EasyMedicare.com is owned and operated by eTelcord Insurance Inc. A duly licensed insurance agent. Neither eTelcord Insurance Inc. nor EasyMedicare.com is connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or federal Medicare program. In California, Florida, and New Mexico, we operate as eTelcord Insurance Inc.
U.S. employers added a sluggish 210,000 jobs in November. Chris Rugaber reports the low number does raise a few questions.
Are employers nervous about the rise in Delta cases? Will they then get nervous about Omicron? So it does raise some uncertainty about what kind of hiring we'll see going forward. But there are some good signs in terms of people coming back into the workforce, which could increase hiring in the months ahead.
Denver's winter started with a whimper, and University of Colorado hydrologist Keith Musselman says there have been no big changes lately.
Denver's experiencing record drought, and really this fall and the autumn period from September, August through November has been some of the driest on record.
The Mile High City has already shattered its 87-year-old record for the latest measurable snowfall set back in 1934. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The House Freedom Caucus plans to broaden its reach into state legislatures to provide conservative policymakers with resources and tools to push their respective legislative agendas.
The State Freedom Caucus Network will be led by longtime GOP strategist Andy Roth and House Freedom Caucus Executive Director Justin Wiemet, and has the direct support of the House Freedom Caucus. The State Freedom Caucus Network is intended to give support to conservative state lawmakers who have limited resources compared to what is available at the national level, according to the Washington Times. The House Freedom Caucus can help provide state-level lawmakers resources such as staffing, communication, strategy, tactics, and logistics that give them the space to deliver their message more effectively while pushing back on their own leadership from time to time. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis has proposed reestablishing a World War II-era civilian military force that he would control. The Florida State Guard would consist of 200 volunteer civilians. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Turn your someday into today. The Shasta College spring semester begins January 19th, and now's the time to register for classes. First-time, full-time students. Get your first 2 years tuition free. At Shasta College, we'll teach you the skills, give you the knowledge, and provide the training you need to unlock your potential. Reskill, upskill, or get transfer ready at Shasta College. Go to www.shastacollege.edu/apply.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We have our next guest here. Our next guest is Robert and Donna Logan. And we just want to welcome you this morning, Robert. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And Robert is a Korean War. He entered into the United States Army Air Corps right at the end of World War II. And he was drafted. And then he flew during the Korean War. And so we want to talk with him this morning. Robert, I just want to say thank you for being here this morning, and thank you for your service to our nation. Mr. Logan, Robert Logan, are you 94 or 95?
I'm actually 93.
93, coming up on 94.
Yes.
And so your birthday is right around the corner, isn't it?
December 20th.
Well, you may as well be 94. That's pretty. That's less than 30 days. So happy birthday to you.
Yeah, I'll take it.
So this morning as we're talking, I'd like you to just tell a little bit about why you joined the military. You worked for the civilian the civil defense as a welder before you were drafted into the military. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about what that was like right there during the end of World War II as you're getting ready to be drafted into the Korean War and to be a pilot, a fighter pilot.
Uh-huh. Yes, that was interesting, all right. That was quite a transition for a high school graduate. All I was, which is my claim to fame at the time, was a high school graduate.
Yeah, there's many that never finished high school. They went directly into the military.
Yeah, except they didn't always take anybody right out of high school, to my knowledge. That was a no-no. And the same thing was, even college people had an exemption from the draft if they chose to talk about it. So anyway, it was pretty well known at the time that those people that were continuing what they call an education that required college performance, they would know that those people would not have to be drafted. They would work out something, and that's the way they worked it.
So when you were drafted, where did they send you? Did you go into the Army or the Army Air Corps at that time?
I chose Army Air Corps because it said AIR.
It said air, huh?
Yeah.
And you wanted something to do with airplanes.
Yep, I did. And I didn't actually have in mind becoming a pilot when I went there. I got I was a PFC and a corporal and a buck sergeant, I believe. I was up for buck sergeant. I was in there for 2 years. Before having to transfer to USAF.
And that was 1947 is when the Air Force became the Air Force. So you went from the Army Air Corps into the new Air Force.
Well, actually, no. I got an invitation because of my age. They notify people that are willing to try something new, I guess, because they suggested that they wanted me to take a test to see if I could pass a test, 2-year college equivalent test, to see if I could qualify myself to go to cadet training to learn to fly.
And you must have passed that.
Yeah. I said yes, yes. So I took the test and I passed it. And, They put me on orders and sent me into a flying class in 1948, this took place.
Now, where was your cadet school that you flew out of?
And out of San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah, that was the only place that I'm trying to recall the name of the base.
Was that Williams?
No. The basic training took place in San Antonio at
Harrington. Wait, was that Harrington Field?
San Antonio was. Say it again.
Harrington. That's where you were sent to after that, from graduation, cadet school.
I'm gonna look real fast here and see. San Antonio is.
So when you were flying, were you flying the AT-6, the trainer?
Hamilton, no, it doesn't say it here. When I wrote this, I didn't include that place.
What was your trainer? What did you train in?
In AT-6 was the airplane of the choice of the air. The Air Force was using the AT-6 as a training plane for primary and basic training for pilots at that time. And so they, when I got to that particular airfield, which is at San Antonio, I was assigned to a class, and it was called, my class was called 49B. And the reason for that is that would be the graduation year and time would be 1 year. It's a 1-year class. And So they assigned me to 49B, and I graduated along with that particular class, and there were a whole bunch, a large number of us. Four large barracks full of four stories high in that airfield that held, I don't know, I'd say probably 800 guys went through that class at the same time.
And how many graduated? How many graduated out of your class?
Well, after that means you have to go be assigned an instructor and go flying, mostly. But there was ground school clear through until you left the field. they had the I can't think of the name of that base. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, the field that that a primary and basic training base was the only place that they had that primary and basic training period, and from there, you got sent to advanced training, which was at different bases, and I got sent to jet training in Williams Air Force Base in Arizona. Near Phoenix, and it was the only jet training base in existence anywhere in the world at the time. It was the only place.
We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll talk more about you going to your jet school at that time. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall-winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane. At Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage, whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Reading. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. Your donations helped us deliver 125 Thanksgiving dinners to military families in need. We're taking donations for Christmas meals December 18th and 19th, again at Save Mart on Turn Creek Road in Reading. Donate hams, turkeys, and non-perishable dry goods and canned goods that would make a wonderful Christmas dinner. Cash accepted also. Keep the dates December 18th and 19th at Save Mart from 8 to 8 both days. And thanks for your support.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
a famous trumpet man from all Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowin' reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really brought him down because he couldn't jam. The captain seemed to understand. Because the next day the cap went out and drafted a band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. A toot, a toot, a toot, a toot, he blows it into the bar. In boogie rhythm, you can't blow a note unless the bass and guitar is playing with him. He makes the company jump when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. He was a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. And when he plays boogie woogie bugle, he was busy as a bee. And when he plays, he makes the company jump way to the bar. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. Doo 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 da da doo da da doo doo. He blows it way to the bar. He can't blow a note if the bass and guitar isn't with him. And the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. Up the same way in the early bright. They clap their hands and stamp their feet. Because they know how he plays when someone gives him a beat. He really breaks it up when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest this morning, Robert Logan. He is a World War II Korean War veteran, and he is our guest this morning, along with his wife, Donna, that's here this morning, and their niece is here also this morning. And so we want to welcome you and say thank you for being here today. And we're talking about you're just going through your boot camp for aviation. You served and you just passed a test for the cadet school, and now you're getting ready. They're sending you to your jet training. And so thank you again, Robert, for being here this morning and talking about your career, getting ready to go into fighter school for the Korean War.
Yeah, they assigned me to go to the same class number, but they split the class into three or four parts because it was the smaller bases out in around Texas and the one at Williams Air Force Base in Phoenix, Arizona, why that one was a rather small base. So they could only handle like one barracks full of 2B jet pilots at a time. And then we had them, we were sleeping in, and it was for six, half of a year, basically, because it's 6 months for primary basic and 6 months for final, for upperclassmen, they called it. So we went through that routine, and the first two took place down in Randolph Field, that the primary basic, and then the last 6 months was all at Phoenix.
And when did you go to Hamilton? When were you sent to Hamilton Field?
That was on graduation after they had anointed me with being a second lieutenant.
So what were some of the aircraft that you trained on when you went to jet school?
It was an F-80, F-80. It was the first jet fighter that our country has built. And it was a radial engine jet. In other words, it was an air compressor. And it didn't have a ram air, not to the point that it used all the ram air for propulsion. It used part, a little bit of air that it sucked in through the intakes, but it also had an air compressor built into the engine. And it provided all of the air that could get to the engine. It gave it 3,800 pounds of thrust. And now, out of that 3,800 pounds of thrust, it would do about 580 miles an hour. That was it. It was not supersonic.
So when you flew that aircraft, it was your training aircraft. Did you ever have close calls when you were out flying that F-80?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Made friends with one friend of mine, and I became close friends, and he was George, his name was, and he's from Pennsylvania, and we were on the same flight instructor at advanced training at Phoenix. And our flight instructor took us up one time and told us to go practice fighter tactics. Well, they told us all about what they could tell us on the ground. So they said, you know, here's an airplane for you and here's an airplane for you. Now that you can fly them, you're going to learn how to shoot them down. So we had to go up and practice to see who could win a dogfight, I guess we'd call it. And so we did that. Instructor had told us you pick a straight road that's nice and straight, or a railroad, and fly out for a minute, make a U-turn, come back flying right over the railroad very closely, and when you get there, you brake, and then the fight begins to see who wins. And the fight, that fight meaning play like, shoot each other down.
Right. So no ammunition, just who could get behind who.
Yeah, they didn't even let us use cameras, but we had it. But what happened was even more interesting. And that was, we did that, and we missed each other. Coming back, we were moving just fast, over 1,000 miles an hour.
Right, head to head.
Going opposite direction. We passed without seeing each other. And the instructor says, good grief, you guys have blind, how come you can't see, you know? So he made us do it again. Well, the next time was even worse.
Well, he was on the ground watching.
Well, he was in the air in another fighter, just like we were flying. He was watching. And what we did again was another disaster. And that was, we got all lined up and did it again. Only this time we weren't out of line, we were nose to nose. We came back, we were very careful, and we met each other right where we were supposed to meet, straight on. I recognized his airplane from about, I don't know, a mile or two ahead. All you can see is three dots, a fuselage round thing, and a fuel tank on the wingtip. On each wingtip, three little dots, and right then, I knew it was too late. So I broke right, and he broke right because he had the same thing happen to him. We met perfectly, head to head. We set up a perfect head-on collision by accident. Anyway, we both broke right, and as we went past each other, he had gone that way, and I had gone the other way. Fortunately, normal reaction.
Right away from
get
each
away.
Other.
Well, my airplane, we passed so close that my airplane got in his airplane.
You buffeted in his
way. Yeah, I buffeted
his wake,
after,
yeah.
After he went by, my airplane buffeted, which meant I was only about that far away.
Yeah, 6 feet.
And,
so you could have been a Blue Angel.
And that was the end of that. We quit right then. It shook us so bad. We couldn't go back. We had, took us a little while to get back and land, get out of the airplane. It scared us
shook
so much.
Yeah.
It was one of the bigger scares I ever had in my life.
Right.
Because I pledged that I would never let that happen again. But I did.
Well, that's a good thing because you're here to talk about it.
Yeah, it was. I'll tell you, it was really scary. I knew I was within about that far of losing everything.
Well, after experiencing that, actually going into combat should have been a lot easier, right?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
You already had the biggest scare of your life.
That isn't something you practice.
Right. Well, that's as close to combat as you were going to get that day,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's for sure. Oh, you can, I guess as long as you're not dead, well, you get some bragging rights.
Well, you know, they say there's old pilots and there's bold pilots, but there's very few old, bold pilots. Yeah, and so you're a special breed, being an old, bold pilot.
No, I've had others. I had the powers that be at that base was at Misawa, Japan, the farthest south Japanese island. There's an airfield right at the tip of that island. I don't remember the name of the Japanese name of that island, but it was the most southern tip, northern tip of Japan. And it was, the name of it was Misawa. And anyway, they assigned me to a flight leader and told me to go fly with him. And so this flight leader told me to get on his tail in trail position. And to me, that meant the same thing to everybody in the Air Force, and that is trail position is with hands in this position.
Right. What about the other right
this
behind
is you?
You.
Is the second guy, and this is the guy, the flight leader, and what happens is that he is going to try to shake you off, and he tries, and he in his zeal, he almost overdid it. I thought, because I considered that he was gave a good shot at trying to kill me, because he did a loop off of the sand. We were dominant, it was an island, and it was, so we were on a beach, and we were flying maybe 30, 40 feet high, doing 500 miles an hour, and we were only about head high off of the ground. Well, that's scary enough.
Right.
And when he pulled up to, pulled 4 G's and pulled up, and I followed him like that. That's what you do in trail. You stay with him. And in theory, if you're shooting at an enemy, you'd be pulling the trigger, shooting 50 caliber bullets at him.
Right.
But in this case, he was supposed to try to get me, scare me off of his tail, I guess. You almost succeeded.
Hold that thought, Robert. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest, Robert Logan, Korean War pilot veteran.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. Time is coming for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that is American Patrol by Glenn Miller. And the American Patrol was dedicated to our airmen who fought during World War II and the Korean War. And so, once again, our guest this morning, Robert Logan, he flew the F-80 and other aircraft during the Korean War. We're talking about some of his training experience right now, preparing to go into Korea to fight as a combat pilot. And Donna, his wife, and I apologize, I forget your... The niece is here also.
Susan.
Susan, thank you for being here. And Susan helps to take care of Robert. Robert is 93. He's going to have his 94th birthday next month on the 21st. And so we want to say happy birthday to you, Robert. And thank you for being here today and to be our guest. And so we'd like to carry on where we were at. We were just talking about you're on the beachhead there in Japan, and you're flying on the surface, and you're chasing your instructor as part of your training, and it's a pretty tight maneuver you were in.
Yeah, no, I was following this clown that's supposed to be an expert, but he had me
self-proclaimed
in trail
expert
position below him, and I was maybe 20 feet high off of the beach, and he had me flying formation between him and the beach.
Well, you're pretty much in his jet wash.
I was in the jet wash, yeah. and practically within sand wash. You know, it was ridiculous. But anyway, he pulled up, and what I didn't know he was going to do is what he did. He pulled up to do a loop, and he did it, a loop. And I didn't know if this airplane could do that. And I didn't know it all the way down, looking at the earth coming back at me straight. So I was going straight down.
Right.
Wondering if I was going to live.
You could pull through
very
it.
Much longer. Because it was a real scary thing. I didn't know for sure. Pulling, you know what G-forces go.
Yes, sir.
Pulling four or over. Well, you start losing some of your vision.
Sure.
And I was right at that point, because that's where you, without G's, a G suit, that's where you start losing it, is 4G's, where your vision
pulling
starts
the blood
going
away from your head, yes.
It was like the shadow knows.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, obviously back, you know, right after World War II, still into Korea, still flying by the seat of their pants. I mean, obviously, you're not supposed to fly that way now, even though they still do fly that way. I know that when I was first learning to fly, after I had flown, I had put myself in a couple of different positions flying the aircraft where I questioned myself afterwards. And I think that every pilot goes through that at one point or another in their career, whether they're civilian or whether they're military. And so, so after you're going through this training, about what was it when they put your unit in Korea to start flying in Korea?
Same airplane. They didn't make enough of them, so they kept making them while we were in training.
So was that the F-80?
AF-80. And they had gone through an A and a B model, and but they weren't using them to fly combat or any particular use. They weren't being used except for production for to build an air force, because they got rid of all the propeller fighters
right at the end of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had literally destroyed all the P-51 Mustangs in Europe.
They stopped building airplanes right at the armistice, I think, and then they didn't start it up again until after they had a new class. 49B was the first class to restart after World War II.
Wow, I didn't realize you were in that first class like that. So anyway, you were that first group of fighter pilots going back into Korea after World War II.
Yeah. So there were a host of old-time fighter pilots in there. My instructor was an old-time fighter pilot. It was retirement age, really.
And what was considered retirement age? 45?
He was a captain, and he was his name was Boone, believe it or not. And he was the sharpest, neatest old guy that I ever flew with. And he flew an airplane, and as a first combat plane for him was a P-26. A P-26 is open cockpit.
Wow.
And he flew as a fighter pilot. And I don't know if he actually shot anybody down during his tenure, but can you imagine doing it from an open cockpit airplane?
So where were you stationed when they sent you into Korea?
What got me there?
No, where were you stationed?
Oh, my. First place was Hamilton Air Force Base at San Francisco. And they told me, they gave us, students, a choice. And they gave us a couple of two choices. So I picked either March Field in Southern California. March Field is somewhere near
south of Riverside.
Yeah, there you go. It was Riverside. That's the name of the nearest town of any size, and it's not a very big town, but it's like Redding or smaller.
Was.
Yeah.
Was.
Now it's the size of L.A.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So were you at Busan? Where were you located in Korea?
In Korea, my entire service time there was all at the same base. As Taegu was the name of the Korean town. It was Taegu, and it was called by everybody K-2.
K-2.
K-2 was the number of that field. And Busan, if you recall that rather famous town name, was right at the ocean, on the China Sea. That was the end of the isthmus for how Korea hangs down into the ocean, you know, from a landmass from China.
I was going to jog your memory about something, but when you were sent over there, there was no base in Korea. You had to fly out of Japan.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. My first 20 or 30 missions were flown out of Itazuki Air Force Base in Japan. And they had, because they were working on K-2, we wasn't ready yet. They were building a runway that for us to use. And turned out that it was a bad one, but it was there were other airfields that had pavement. I never did try to pin down any high-ranking person that would be honest with me to tell me why they did it backwards.
Well, now, at K2 was a metal runway.
Yeah.
It's an expedient runway with runway matting.
We call it pierced plank.
And so tell me some of the stories about when you were landing the aircraft and taking off there with that metal runway.
Yeah, well, the F-80 was the lowest powered fighter I think that ever made it into service. You know, 3,800 pounds of thrust is most business jets now have more than that are flying in this modern age. They're more, got more thrust and faster, they cruise faster and so forth. None of them, I don't think any of them can fly, faster than the speed of sound, and because they have to beat what we call compressibility, and that is somewhere on the airplane there will be a supersonic flow over the wings or the airplane somewhere and disrupt the normal flow of air over the airplane, and the airplane starts shaking. And, of course, they put the red line at that point.
Right, for Mach 1.
Uh-huh. So we were, in theory, we're pretending like test pilot.
I was thinking about also when he told me that he flew out of Japan, they were only had enough gasoline or fuel in the plane for one run in order to get back to land in Japan. So they could make one run, drop the bombs, and come back.
We had to cross almost 100 miles of ocean to get to the Korea, and then if we wanted to shoot somebody that was 100 miles north into Korea, and the North Koreans had invaded southerly and gone almost clear to Busan. They were almost wiping the whole peninsula clean of people except their own armies. They were that strong.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest, Robert Logan, Korean War veteran pilot.
Greetings to my fellow veterans. This is Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of Veterans Affairs for the state of California. I'm a Korean vet, and it's my honor to serve in the U.S. Army as a new immigrant to this great country. Thank you for your service. It will not be forgotten. It should be remembered that freedom is not free. It has been secured by brave sacrifice that all members of our military and their families have given since the beginning of a great, wonderful nation. Thank you for your service.
This is the Cigar of the Month from Tobacco and Brew, brought to you by Liga Privada. The Underground Sun Grown is the perfect balance of Nicaraguan long filler tobacco. Draped in a lovely Connecticut sun-grown wrapper, this stick received a 92 rating. With hints of spice, wood, and espresso, this robust cigar ends on notes of cinnamon. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
Hi, this is Whitney from Timberline Heating and Air Conditioning. On behalf of the whole Timberline team, we wanted to take this opportunity during this special time of year as we gather to spend time with our family and friends. It is also a time to remember all of our veterans and those currently serving our country. So we join with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute, sending peace, hope, and happiness this holiday season to all our veterans and service members from the Timberline Heating and Air family. Happy Holidays.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. Your donations helped us deliver 125 Thanksgiving dinners to military families in need. We're taking donations for Christmas meals December 18th and 19th, again at Save Mart on Turn Creek Road in Reading. Donate hams, turkeys, and non-perishable dry goods and canned goods that would make a wonderful Christmas dinner. Cash accepted also. Keep the dates December 18th and 19th at Save Mart from 8 to 8 both days. And thanks for your support.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that is in honor of our guest this morning, Robert Logan, Korean War veteran, Army Air Corps, and Air Force veteran. Before we come back to Robert, we're going to talk once again. We just have a couple of items that we want to discuss really quick about events that are coming up very closely for the museum and for Homeward Bound. Michelle, will you talk about those real quick?
Sure. So next weekend, the 4th, is our Packing for the Troops event. That's going to be from 1 to 6 at the Veterans Event Hall at the VFW in Anderson, and that's 3210 West Sutter Street in Anderson. And then on the 11th, we are going to do another paint night fundraiser, and that's going to be at our fire station down there, the old fire station in Cottonwood, and that's 3271 Brush Street. And it's going to be at 6:30 p.m. It'll be $35 per person. And it'll include all the supplies, full instruction, and the snacks, and a really fun time. The last one was really good. We had a good, fun crew in there. And we'll be painting a little Christmas scene with a truck. And
An old truck and a Christmas tree.
And, yeah, some fun little things there. And then on the 18th and 19th, Save Mart has graciously, again, offered to do another food drive for us for our Christmas meals. So we'll be there from 8 to 8 both days and collecting another, hopefully, 100 meals for our Christmas families this year.
And once again, if you have a family that you'd like to nominate to receive a Christmas meal of ham and the groceries, please get that information to us. You can leave the message at the museum office, and that's 530-378-2280, and we will make sure that we get them taken care of at Christmas time. Once again, our guest this morning, Robert Logan, Korean War veteran and pilot, fighter pilot. Robert, I just want to say thank you again for being here. It's a privilege and honor to meet you and to have you be able to tell your story and to share that with us this morning. 93 years, headed to 94 here in another couple of weeks. And so we thank you for being able to, for your service and sharing that with us today. And Donna, what was it we were talking about earlier in the break?
Well, we were talking about the fact that these men are our heroes, true heroes. Mm-hmm. And when you hear the stories and when you read their bios, you really realize what the cost that they used to give us freedom. I've never been in the military, but I know now from being married to Robert for so many years that this is a big deal. And all of our veterans should, yes, and all of our veterans should be supported in whatever branch of the service they've been in. And so I'm appreciative. I really appreciate him. He is my hero. And I like hearing his stories, and maybe you have time to listen to the one about where he had his canopy fly open at altitude.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, Robert?
Mm-hmm. I will. It was one of the scarier times.
You had many scary times in your career.
Yeah, they didn't design the airplane for that to happen.
Right, yes, no.
And they all they gave us to, if you ever had to get out of an airplane, they give you a parachute, right? Trouble is, then they made the airplane capable of going to 50,000 feet, you know, and so what happens then?
There's no oxygen.
There's no oxygen up there, and the canopy opened all the way, open. And I'm amazed that it didn't take off, something didn't blow up, you know, because of the, it wasn't designed to be open, and I was at maximum speed.
You truly were a test pilot.
Mm-hmm. I was doing right at 600 miles an hour, and I'm sitting there with my shoulder about 2 inches from 600 mile an hour wind. I thought, I don't think I'll stick my finger out there.
And didn't it try to pull you out?
Yeah, it was trying. It was the air pressure was trying to vacuum me out of my
cockpit,
right?
Yeah.
Straight up. They were trying to pull me out like a big vacuum cleaner, a big one.
So at that point, were you over Korea at the time, and were you over the combat zone at that time, or were you headed back from a mission?
I was probably stateside.
Oh, it happened in the United States.
Stateside, but it happened in a very capable airplane. Is it the F-84 model made by Republic Aviation on Long Island? And that one we open the canopy when you're on the ground, period. Because the cockpit is airtight, supposedly, so you can have, you don't have to have 100% oxygen. You can select 100% oxygen. But you don't get it unless you absolutely need it. The sensors are designed to give you 100% oxygen when you're extreme altitudes. And this was extreme. You can't get them any higher than that because they can't support any kind of combustion, above 50,000 feet. There's no oxygen up there to breathe or make flame.
Right.
Did you black out? I've forgotten. Did you black out?
No. I was as calm as a cucumber.
And we don't believe that either. So how did you survive?
Well, you know, the first thing I thought of was I thought I can't. They made, believe this or not, they made what they called a bailout bottle. I have one with me. It just happens that they're the same now as they were then, really, but I'm wearing this one because I have a lung problem.
Mm-hmm. Right, with the oxygen.
Because I'm on oxygen 24/7, according to the doctors. And they...
So how did the bailout bottle save you?
You can't, because it's only good for 5 minutes.
We're still trying to find out how come you're still here.
I was 10 miles from Firma.
Oh.
10 miles up is how far it is to 50,000 feet. So there was no way that you couldn't jump bail out. There was no such thing as a parachute. You were wasting time. I would rather had fuel.
So did you go straight down or?
No, I did what I thought was logical and a normal reaction. I cut the power to idle the engine and pulled the nose up to slow up the airplane. I didn't have to take a lesson to know what to do. I'll tell you what, it told him slow up fast.
Did you just do a spiral?
Huh?
Did spiral to lose altitude?
It's all right all the way down to, and then all I could do was hold maximum speed with the power all the way off when the dive break down. And that's full descent. And of course, that makes the go down meter say max, and they only went up to, I forget what a rate of climb thing goes down to, but they go down to something like 5 or 10,000 feet a minute. So at that rate, it's still going to take you, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah, to drop down. Like a rock, yeah.
So you're going to be dead before you get down there. So why bother?
So then how did you actually level off, and what happened to the canopy?
Well, it's because I held the mask against my face.
Oh, I see.
Did the oxygen regulator handy to the pilot, you push the lever to 100%. And that, by doing it that way, I had oxygen all the way down because, you know, when a canopy opened, the mask tried to fly off of my face
right.
because it tried to compensate
yeah,
for the
it
loss of pressure by upping the pressure. What it did was blow the mask away from my face.
Well, Robert, we're getting down to our final time. I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about your combat duty in Korea, but we've only got like a minute and a half left. And so this morning I'm going to have you come back again as we have an opportunity because I really would like to have you talk a little bit more about your flying capability in Korea. And how many missions did you have total while you flew there in Korea?
I flew 120.
120 combat missions in Korea against the communist Chinese.
Some of them from starting from Japan and the rest of them all from K2.
Well, you are obviously a very capable pilot because of all the things that you survived and flying up against the enemy and being able to survive in combat when you were flying, dropping bombs and air-to-air combat with the...
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving...